Hello and welcome to the Premier League Review Show with myself, Gav Mack, Ed Hall and Stephen Cotton. Hello, gentlemen.
Good evening. Happy Valentine's Day to all you lovely, lovely ladies out there, or lovely men out there.
I just actually send my girls downstairs so I can do the podcast, but you know.
Yeah, get off me, ladies,
I'm not alone this Valentine's.
Oh, yeah.
I'll just set mine upstairs to bath my daughter.
I hope that's not you. But the way we're actually going to spend Valentine's Day is I'm assuming me and Ed are going to have a lovely date in Verdansk later.
Usual shit. Shoot
play Call of Duty like losers.
That needs to be taken out of context.
You can subscribe to us on all social media platforms at Twitter Top Football, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram. And YouTube, of course. And if you put to the top of Google, our name comes up first. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, that's my vocal for Valentine's Day.
Oh, T-Pain. That sounded like vocoded as well.
Oh, should we do the vocoder? It's like...
He started Twitch streaming, T-Pain.
His intros are so sick, man. His intros are unbelievable.
He's got no money, so like he's trying to do everything. Remember, like that's another story for a different time. It's boring. What have we just seen? Right, we have just seen Arsenal versus Leeds United. Arsenal 4, Leeds 2. Arsenal getting a victory. Oh my god! And Leeds still haven't won in London for 3 years, which is ridiculous, isn't it? To be honest. So Arsenal, first of all, let's talk about them. Aubameyang with his first ever Premier League hat-trick. He's been there for 3 years. He's a mad ting, blood. Mad ting's in it.
You need to get rid of him, man.
Oh, yeah. Try and cash in while we can. try cash in while we can. Why not? But, yeah, they're all well taken goals. Even the penalty, you know, was dispatched quite nicely. The Bellerin strike just before half-time was pretty shiny as well. Little Megs from Danny Ceballos. But Arsenal did everything they could to mess things up. We'll go to you, Cotton, or should we go to Marrow first? Marrow, what are your thoughts on Leeds?
He's sick of look at him. Like, he's sick of the plaudits they get even when they lose games. They weren't that great today, to be honest, until the latter stages of the game where they decided they figured out that if they got a goal or two, they could get back in the game. They didn't really offer much. Bamford had one of the most quiet days I've seen. This is a Bamford I'm used to. This is why when I saw him in the Championship and he played like this and he was isolated and lonely. Those are the kind of performances we've seen from. Exactly, that's why I slipped in there. But I just don't think Arsenal were pretty good today. Very good today. But Leeds made it really easy for them, I think.
What did you forget?
Yeah, professional first 50 minutes. I mean, I never saw Leeds truly getting back into the game. It was yourself who was convinced. Maybe a little bit after the second goal, I thought, oh, Arsenal capitulating here, but not really. Leeds left it too late. There is no way in hell you should be 4-0 down. It's their mentality when they're already losing, okay? So I understand they're excited, but it's like if they're 2-0 or 3-0, they still play like they're 3-0 up, or they're still playing like it's a 0-0 game. And then they just said, then they get battered. I mean, Leeds, despite getting the two goals, are still giving up plenty of chances against Arsenal. You could have made it 6-2, as far as I'm concerned. Leeds, you will definitely stay up because you've got so much quality. But once this season ends, once the dust settles, what is your ambition? Because football like that will not get you anywhere. Unless it's a knockout tournament. But even then, really?
Well, Crawley.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. But Crawley Leeds aren't the best team. Leeds could have a fantastic FA Cup run and then play Man City. And then, well, obviously meant nothing.
I think Leeds need to sort themselves out defensively because I think going forwards, they are exciting to watch. And this is what's getting so many media plaudits at the moment. But defensively, they need work. They need to, in the transfer market, look at a centre-half. I know they tried so hard to get Ben White back and Brighton were like, no. Going forwards in terms of the future, they need to sort out what they've got at the back. What sort of centre-halves should they be looking for? You know, like who's out there who they can be like, right, okay, we'll offer X amount of money and go get them.
I was looking at Cotton's shirt. Are you talking about Leeds?
Yeah, who did Leeds need to buy, Gav?
Gav?
Sorry. Yeah, no, you're both spoke at the same time.
We're asking the same question.
Oh, right, okay. Well, you know, like there are still players in the Premier League, you know, that they can look at.
We are so on it. Who are you talking about?
Yeah. I was asking you guys a genuine question.
Yeah, what question?
Yeah.
What centre half should they buy?
Who's they?
Leeds!
Okay!
Oh my God, I said it. Leeds defensively need help.
Gav.
Your
internet and your voice cuts in and out all the time, so we didn't hear anything.
It's not my internet. I've got too much going on my laptop. I saw you guys moving around, so like my internet didn't cut out.
we were asking who.
Right.
Leeds need to buy Victor Lindelof.
Sergio Ramos.
Yeah.
Victor Lindelof, take him off our hands.
I genuinely think it's the style of play. I don't know if it's necessarily centre-halves, because we already said this already. It's like Leeds just have a strike force in a midfield. The defence is part of that attack, and they could purely commit bodies forward. It doesn't matter who they got in defence. You could have the best defenders in the world. They are constantly leaving themselves exposed at the back. The formation
sort of tells of a level of defensive mindset. Because it's a 4-1-4-1, technically, that they play. So they've got their four at the back and a holding midfielder. That, for me, is like, right, okay. You know, and their two central midfielders aren't exactly the most attack-minded. It's more their wing play and who they play for in the middle, you know. So that is the main priority, I would say, for Leeds United. You know, let's have a look at what clubs are... you know, are pretty astute defensively, but have, you know, surplus requirements in on their back line. You know, there's I'm not saying it's Arsenal, because we are talking about Arsenal, but like why didn't they look at you know, Mustafi is already here, you know, or Socrates, you know, is here already, you know, he can stay and play Premier League football. They're not in a relegation scrap. So, but those two can play or act in a defensive way to help them out a little bit at the back. I don't know. But Arsenal have had a bit of a bad run of late in the last few games. So what do you think this will do for their mentality?
It gives you a goal. It gives you a goal for the season, because I'd say a month ago, a couple of weeks ago, you would have said just get as high as we can and then we'll go again next year. Mathematically, I think you're like 6 points off top four. I don't think you'll get top four, but the fact of the matter is you could. So, you know, it gives you a driving force for the season, and, you know, crazier things have happened. I think Arsenal will just try and get top four this year and then just, you know, start again next year, because it didn't start the way you anticipated this year. And that's left you at a disadvantage. But they could do it.
Cotton?
I think qualifying for any sort of Europe for Arsenal would be a plus this season. Whether you go and win the Europa League, or you do finish in European places, whether it be top four or whether it be the Europa League places. I think, like Ed said, something to aim for now. You've had the horrible start to the season. It's all kind of coming back together again now. There were some really good performances out there. Aubameyang scoring again. So I think, personally, if I was an Arsenal fan, I'd be looking to get some Europe under our belts.
I don't want to see Arsenal play any form of Champions League football this year, which could happen from a Europa League or from qualification in league position, which I highly doubt. Arsenal are not going to go out and spend money in the right places. I can't see that happening. So for them to get into the Champions League would be a step way too far. And if I'm honest, I would actually like to see Arsenal finish outside of Europe and just have a solid year next season. Excuse me.
How's a new competition start next year?
No, it's the 22-23 season, I think it starts. So
it might be worth looking that up, because that is going to change everything. Because we might go, oh, we finished eighth outside Europa League, then you end up in the third tier.
Well, I finished ninth. Right, so let's talk. We'll go backwards as we like to on the old review show, and we'll talk about Manchester United. Manchester United drew 1-1 with West Brom.
What the f*** was that?
2 minutes into the game, West Brom take the lead with a Digne header. Stephen.
Yeah. Honestly, while I'm talking, I'm gonna send you the picture so you can get it up on.
I've seen the picture.
But we can show it.
We can discuss the picture.
But I'm still going to send it to you because then it'll be easier for you to...
So should we talk? We'll talk about the rest of the game and then we'll go back to that? Should we talk about
that? Well, it's coming to you now. So basically, my mind is blown that this was not given... Well, I'm not actually, because the officiating's been just... We say it every week and it just keeps getting worse. If this challenge or whatever you want to call it was the other way around and that was the centre-back doing that to a forward, there's no way on God's green earth that's not given as a penalty. There's no way it's not given as a foul. Do we agree?
Yeah. The thing is, right, when you watch it in real time, which for me, when it comes to VAR, they should be reviewing scenarios and situations in real time, because then by doing that you get an honest review and an honest answer as to what has happened and what we've seen, whereas it's not happening. That is currently not happening in the Premier League. Oh my God, that's absolutely hideous, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. Like, I genuinely just don't know how it can't be a foul. Whether you watch it in full speed, whether you watch it in super slow motion, whether you watch it in one frame a second, like he's clattered him, he's climbing all over him, he's got his hand over his face pulling his head. We've had goals disallowed this season for Harry Maguire jumping, and this was given. Don't get it wrong, we were so bad today. We didn't deserve to come out of that with even a point, I don't think. But you're playing West Brom. How different is that game when West Brom aren't 1-0 up after 90 seconds and just sit back for 90 minutes? Like, if it's still 0-0, it's a different game. But then once they got that goal and sat back, that was it. Game over. We didn't do enough to break it down. Couldn't break it down. I'm just sick of players coming out at the start of games not ready, not looking like they want it until 50, 60 minutes. Just, again, abject performances from certain players. Rashford's decision making again is just so bad. Like, he'll cross when he should shoot, he'll shoot when he should cross. He's getting into good positions but then cutting back or doing step overs, and it's driving me mental.
The thing is, his running game has been glorious, and when he starts driving at people, it's a joy to watch. And I was about to message you when he did that. There was one particular particular situation in the first half, and I was like, "Yeah, this is glorious." And then he just ran into a corridor.
He ran into six people, did three step overs, and just doesn't cross, shoot, or pass. Like, he ends up doing nothing and loses the ball. His decision making's poor. I would say again another touchy subject, but obviously with the last few weeks, with players being racially abused, I don't know if you saw, Sky Sports broke it about 5 minutes ago, that Martial received an absolute ton of racial hatred on social media after the game. And one of my friends made a good point. He was like, so basically, people are just getting racially abused if they have a bad game. Like, when was the last time a City players don't get targeted because they win every week? Do you know what I mean? When teams aren't doing well, it seems to be that cavemen with 3 IQ, as soon as something doesn't go their way, rather than blame whatever, the first thing they go for is that, which obviously it's a touchy subject again at the minute, because certain teams have decided not to, take the knee. But yeah, going back to this.
Going back to that, we're gonna. I want to speak about that in a couple of moments. To be fair,
how is that not a foul? Honestly, if that is the other way around and that is just that is a defender doing that to a striker, tell me that they do not get a penalty. It's when Graham Souness thinks Man United should have a goal, should have a foul. You know it's serious, and he was animated about it. But yeah, I can't just blame that. We were shit. Bruno's goal was beautiful, but it's the only thing he did all game.
Bruno Fernandes scoring a goal from 12 yards out, which wasn't a penalty, and what a beautiful finish it was, Ed.
Beautiful finish.
Bruno Fernandes is one of them players where he doesn't need to have a good game to contribute to the team, but he's one of very few in that team who can get away with that. The rest of them have to put a shift in 90% of the time. And the inconsistency levels with Man United is up, down, up, down. A big part of that, I just think they're not the complete package yet. I think that the small parts, they'll dust off and probably replace in the summer. West Brom, man. Like, I was saying to Cotton at the break, there's negative football. There is tactical negative football, like with Jose Mourinho at Tottenham Hotspur. Relegation Sam Allardyce football is wasting time, leaving the ball out of play. Like, let's say the fans were there and you've worked all week to go to this game and you've watched about 60 minutes of football.
If that
kind of football is taken away from the spectators and just doesn't belong. And I also said that I'm never gobsmacked when teams park the bus against my team because I wouldn't expect them to come guns blazing against us. You know, you'd be an idiot. But at the same time, I still want you to turn up and play football because at the end of the day...
It could be a tactical move when you are coming up against a Liverpool or a Man City in order to, you know, it's like, let's frustrate them. Let's just get under their skin a little bit. But... yeah, when you play like that, that is the true definition of anti-football, is it not?
Yeah, it is anti-football. And I just want to throw this in there. I did have a little look up at the Europa League Conference League, the third tier, starts this year. Starts at the start of next season, and you better not finish sixth or seventh. That's all I'm saying.
Great. So more football to shoehorn in before and after
Europe. So if you finish third in the Europa League group stage, similar to the Champions League, you fall into the conference. So it's exactly, there's now three tiers.
Yeah. That'll be good for the smaller teams like...
Yeah. Dynamo Tbilisi.
Yeah, Midtjylland.
It could get into it. You never know.
Yeah.
Teams like Wolves... last year and Everton's of the past probably could have gone on to easily win that third tier if that existed.
And it's still a trophy, isn't it? So,
but like a big team.
Just going back to originally sort of the point about Martial receiving racial abuse. I'm not being funny. Like Martial, performance-wise, he deserves a bit of flack from the fans. If I'm honest,
sticking out, yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, mate, your performances haven't been great. To start bringing race into it then poses a whole new thing. And there has been, you know, like Brentford have come out and said, you know, our players are no longer taking a knee because we feel that it has no direct impact on the game. My opinion of that is this, you know, there's no room for racism. I want to put that on the screen and, you know, there isn't any room for it whatsoever. None. There's no genuine excuse to allow racism in the world, let alone in sport. But this whole take of the knee, as soon as they've announced that, so many people have come out and said, oh, yes, about time, you know, rah, 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 this, that and the other. Why are people so triggered over players going down on one knee for less than 5 seconds, pretty much? And it's like, oh, well, you know, they went down on one knee because of George Floyd. They, you know, they were any of this or BLM is some, you know, is a type of movement. It's a Marxist movement or they're trying to defund the police. do some research on what you're talking about first before you start shouting your mouth and opening your mouth. And if you've ever been to a BLM march or anything like that, then I'll tell you what, let's have a conversation again. So I've been to those, if you don't know already. And I've not seen any drama until a load of racist people turn up and try and start in drama with black people.
It's
not even just black people. It's people that are turning up to try and fight the cause for equality. Because it's not just black people that are turning up. Sorry.
Yeah, the knee is actually supposed to be for, like you said, equality. It's not just racism. It's all forms of discrimination. Homophobic discrimination. Racial discrimination. Anything. And like you said, I tweeted about it earlier. Honestly, the absolute gammon replies on the Sky article when they said about Brentford not taking the knee. The replies just to that article is the exact reason we need to keep taking the knee and keep it in people's consciences and keep it at the front, the forefront, because it's not going away, and I don't want it to go away until... We're never going to sort it, but I don't want it to go away until we've got to a point where it's 10 times better than it is now, because it can't go on the way it is at the minute.
No, exactly. It's a generational thing, because... End of the day, my daughter is of mixed heritage, if you want to call it that, because that is the terminology that is required for my daughter. My daughter is my daughter. It doesn't matter what color she is. So I understand why people would turn around and be like, oh, all lives matter. I agree. All lives do matter. But black lives matter too.
But all
black lives
matter
as well. You know,
all lives can't matter until black lives matter. That's the whole point. So saying all lives matter, yeah, we agree, they do, but they can't matter. How can you say all lives matter, but you don't think that black lives matter? It doesn't work. Yeah. It's literally but anyway, we'll go down a hole on that.
But I just wanted to say that and get it out of there, because the thing is, the taking the knee, if Premier League players adopt this method as well, then if I'm honest, it's worked, because people are turning around and saying it hasn't worked, it hasn't done this, it hasn't done that. It has worked, because more racist people are going out there and spouting their hate, and it's worked, because social media companies are now out there to nullify the abuse that is going towards players like Martial, like Twanzabi, like man, the list.
Tyrone Mings,
you know, there is a long list. There is a long list of players that are receiving racial abuse for actions that have happened on the pitch that have nothing to do with the color of someone's skin. So if that is the route that you want to go down, and that's the route your mind takes you, then you need to have a conversation with yourself. And yeah, that's on that. And Man United pants. Let's try and lighten it up a little bit. And let's talk about a beautiful, beautiful. Well, it's not just a beautiful goal. There's a couple of beautiful goals in this. Southampton 1, Wolves 2. Opening goal by Danny Ings. What a great move and a great finish. And then at half time is game over pretty much, but Wolves don't know when to die, so they got out of the mires and found a way with a Ruben Neves penalty and Pedro Neto, lovely finish. But the penalty,
I'm so bored of it, mate. I'm so bored of it, because that wasn't a handball last week and it won't be a handball next week, but it'll be a handball in 3 weeks' time, but then not the following week after that.
And the reason with that is because there was another situation where Southampton were all asking for it. Because the thing is, the Wolves one, I don't think anyone... It was a half-assed appeal for a penalty. And then Southampton, the ball... I can't remember his hand. Was it Kilman's hand? I think it was Kilman. I can't remember off the top of my head now. But then no penalty was given, and I don't even think it went to VAR.
Do you know what, man? Southampton have had it really bad with VAR in the last month or two. They have had some goals chalked off. They've had some goals given. They've had some cards. They've had a real rough shake of it. And it shouldn't be that way, man. Like, I don't think anyone can say, unless you're a Wolves fan that desperately needed the win, I don't think anyone can say that's a handball for the penalty. It's just... But again, it is this week. It won't be next week. It will be the week after. It won't be the week after that. Like, it's got to the point now where... that's why people are appealing for anything now, because you might as well. Like, why not?
Mm. Ed, Southampton have now lost 6 games on the spin in the league. It's the worst record that they've had in their history. So... Southampton were top of the league at one point in the season. You know, don't get me wrong, we all took the mick out of them when they were trying to do the stop the count stuff. But what does this mean for Southampton now? You know, are they in a relegation scrap?
No way, no way. Even Brighton aren't in a relegation scrap. That just shows how poor the bottom three have been. But I think we are very forgetful in football, like, unbelievably. You know, fans, and I'm not talking about us boys, but I'm saying is, and you two will both agree, that fans base their football knowledge on a week-to-week basis. Do you remember when Southampton accumulated the most points in the Premier League behind Manchester City and Liverpool in the whole of 2020?
100%.
And we are now in February talking about crisis at Southampton. Yes, they are definitely in bad form, 100%. Can't disagree with that. But you look at the players they've got in their team. Danny Ings is the most clinical striker after Harry Kane, who's English. In terms of that sharpshooting finisher, you can't dispute that. You know, they've got they've got Premier League veterans. They've got a Champions League proven in terms of a European manager. They've got Taki Minamino, only 12 months ago, was playing Champions League football against Liverpool. They've got a great side with great players. And, you know, and they've got one of the best academies. Southampton, I think people need to forget that Southampton were punching above their weight 2 months ago, and now they've probably gone back to where they should be. Everyone's going, oh, I don't know what's happening there. No, they're just Southampton. So, you know, it'd be good to remember that. But I like Southampton as a team. I hope they get back on the bandwagon, because there's plenty of other teams I'd like to see do worse. And I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? I hear everything that Ed's saying and I echo it, but it's still not great form from Southampton.
They're similar to Leeds in the fact that when they play nice football, it is lauded a lot and everyone bangs the drum for Hasenhüttl and how much of a good job he's doing and stuff. But then, yeah. Then you will have games and form like they're in at the minute, where it really is. If West Brom and Sheffield United weren't so far away from the pack, then they would have to worry. But I mean, luckily for them, they did have the good start to the season, and the teams are so far adrift down there. But their form is really worrying at the minute. And like Ed said, with the players you've got, you'd expect them to do better. And also, a problem is, if they finish outside of the top 10 or whatever, mate, Danny Ings, as much as he loves playing football for the club, if someone comes in and makes a half decent offer next summer, he's not going to say no, is he?
I wouldn't say no.
Come in as a backup or whoever, he'll jump at the chance. So I think that's what Southampton have to be really careful of, is losing players and maybe the manager. Who knows? But I mean, what can you say, really? They did well at the start of the season. They're not doing so great now. That is the tale of a lot of the teams, either that way or the other way around, where they'll have a horrible start to the season and finish strongly. But Southampton will just be there or thereabouts. I'm surprised that they've had as many losses on the bounce as they had. I saw their form going into this Wolves game and I thought, yeesh. And obviously they even took the lead, but
yeah.
I don't know if it might be a mentality thing, it might be a confidence thing, but it's looking pretty bleak down there at the minute.
Yeah, Wolves, this is a massive result for them. There's a lot of Wolves fans that are pretty split. Whether Nuno's the right man, should Nuno move on? I think Nuno's a great gaffer, let's be real.
They wouldn't be anywhere near where they are if it weren't for him. So, like, It's literally the dumbest reactionary stuff to say that he's in trouble or get rid of him. Like, he's done nothing but wonders for that club. Not even just in the sense of results. Look at the players he has signed for that club. Look at the caliber of players that want to come and play for Wolves now. Like, that is not happening 3 years ago, or if Mick McCarthy's the gaffer, do you know what I mean? Like, they're having a bit of bad form. Look at the league. Who isn't having bad form? Who isn't? Yeah. Other than Man City.
Man City started the season badly. They've come into their own. They've just won so many games on the spin. Let's talk about City, because we're speaking about them. So, I think I'll shot me load a little bit. Watch your ears, people. Manchester City 3, Tottenham 0. Goals from Gundogan. He scored a brace, and it was a lovely little brace. Both different goals. And a penalty, which was actually scored by Man City. Rodrigo taking the responsibility, and it's reported that he was so wound up with City losing penalties that he was going to kick off if he wasn't allowed to take penalties. So he took it, and it wasn't even the cleanest penalty, was it?
Well, you can see even in the game, he just picks the ball up and he's not having anything. Like, he's not letting anyone take it off him. He was just like, no, I'm doing this. I'm sick of it. I don't blame him. I mean, Edison was creeping his way down to the halfway line, which I think is banter, right? It is banter. And if it's a friendly or you're 4-0 up or whatever, what happens if Edison takes that penalty? It's saved and he's 100 yards from anywhere and someone just sticks the ball over the top and it goes in.
You've got to Jose Chilavert it and just make sure you either smash it in the back of the onion bag or put it into row Z so you got enough time to get back.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the keeper wanting to take the penalty in a Premier League game, if I'm perfectly honest. But it doesn't matter. Rodri took it and it panned out. Mate, Tottenham.
What are Tottenham?
I said at the start, halfway through last season, I said at the start of this season, I got moaned at for it by Spurs fans when I said, enjoy your defensive, stagnant, like, football that is just, it just oppresses flair players, because that's what Mourinho does. And yeah, they've had their results. They beat us. They absolutely hammered us. But honestly, the last 10 Tottenham games, Harry Kane's had no touches in the opposition box. If he's lucky, he's had three. Even when he scores his goals, it's one shot a game. Like, he's having one shot on target a game. It's just, I just don't understand how you can play so negative every single time. When they did the heat map and the average positions for every player for Tottenham in that City game, all on the halfway line. Harry Kane was on the halfway line for average positions for the game, playing centre mid practically.
I mean, like, 14 games ago, they were top of the league, and in those 14 games, or 15 games, they've picked up 16 points.
Yeah, but that average is a draw a game, right? Which is about right for the style of football that Jose plays. Like, you come out and he tries not to lose, but that's the thing. Once they went a goal down to City, then what? What was the plan B? What did Mourinho change or try and get out of his players to turn that around? Nothing, because the game plan's to hit them on the counter. So they still sat back. And I know it's City and they will have a lot of the ball, so it's probably a bad example, but they offered nothing, man. This was a really hard watch.
For City fans, for Spurs fans, I would assure, but like, for City fans, Ed, I think this would have been a lovely watch, and seeing Gundogan, who is, you know, he's up there with the top goal scorers at the moment.
This is the best season.
Yeah, he scored 10 goals.
Yeah, I mean, what a year.
18 games.
Yeah, Gundogan's been fantastic. I think if you wasn't convinced that Man City had won the league when they'd beaten Liverpool at Anfield, you will certainly know now, especially with Manchester United dropping points. It's over. We thought perhaps it was going to be another year. We thought perhaps this was going to be a break from the old routine of someone running away with it, but I can't see anything else but that. Congratulations to Manchester City.
That's right.
Yeah, I've been the best, better than the rest. That's how I say it. I still stand by. This isn't the best Man City team I've seen under Pep. Never mind the best Man City team I've seen in the Premier League. But they deserve to be where they are, and they will most likely go on to win the league.
How they got away with playing so well, winning every week, with no proper vocal psycho other than Hayes.
Because everyone wrote them off this year. Everyone wrote them off last year. Manchester City, and we'll get into this when we do the Liverpool game. Manchester City are doing exactly what Liverpool did exactly last year, what Liverpool are doing this year. Drop off significantly. Man City have lost at this point of the season, match week 23. Man City have lost 5 games already this season. Liverpool have lost 6. So it's exactly the thing. They ended up losing 9 games across the entire season for Man City standard. I think they got 98 points the year before that. And then everyone wrote them off. Man City readjusted, got all their injuries back, brought some more players in, and then they had a shaky start, and then we just carried on and went, look, Pep here is done, man. Like, he's done his bit. He's going to go off elsewhere. And then we all just focused on Liverpool and Tottenham at the time. Do you remember? They were up there. Everton. It was exciting. And Man City just went under the radar and battered teams.
Yeah.
I would say as well, not this isn't the reason City are top. City are top because they've absolutely hammered everyone. But everyone around them, second, third, fourth, fifth, everyone is doing their utmost best to piss away any title, any sort of challenge or whatever. Like, any type City win will drop points. Like, Liverpool are dropping points. Everyone around them that could have and were challenging for a title have absolutely shagged it. Yeah, so City have just steamrolled everyone. Don't get me wrong, but I honestly think, like Ed said, we really thought this was going to be a tight race. I reckon give it a month or two and the points tally could start to get a little bit embarrassing. City could end up being 15, 20 points clear in a month's time. Do you know what I mean? Like, before you know it, because all they'll do is just keep winning. But then all the teams around them, all we keep doing is drawing against lesser opposition or losing games.
We'll probably draw against each other.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
we can't risk losing. Whereas City will have no care in the world. They'll play free-flowing attacking football and dominate teams. So, race. Yeah, it's going to be the top 4 and the top 6, because as far as I'm concerned, Premier League's wrapped up and so is the Championship contenders. It's done. Yeah. Relegation's over.
The thing is, City have played 23 games at this stage. They've conceded 14 goals. The next best defensive record sits with Chelsea on 24. Chelsea and Villa, they're joint and haven't conceded 24 goals from 23 games. So it's defensively where Man City have grown and they've come into their own a bit, isn't it?
It's
not enough to do.
John Stone, because he's had the spots away from him.
How many years have we been saying City get a decent centre-back and then it's game over? And this is pretty much what's happened. They've found a centre-back that actually works for them. Yeah. And a centre-back pairing that works for him, and that's his curtains.
And John Stones has also turned into new Beckenbauer.
Prime Maldini,
I mean, they've got Ake and Laporte as their backup centre-backs. Like, bro.
It's mental.
Bro.
It's mental.
Like, Laporte has turned into a backup. That's how mad things are going on at City.
He was probably top 2 centre-backs for 2 years in a row. Easy.
Exactly.
The minute Stones gets an injury or has a game where he needs to be dropped, Laporte will go back in and stay there.
Yeah. Brighton 0, Aston Villa 0. This game was all about ex-Arsenal player Emi Martinez. 9 saves, his most amount of saves ever made in the Premier League game. The game is crap. So
I'm surprised there was 9 things to save in that game, because it was awful.
That's it. I'm not talking about that game anymore. Palace 0, Burnley 3. Now, I had an Acker yesterday and I put Burnley in it, and I thought that might be the one that lets me down, but no, I was a twat and put Northampton Town in there as well, didn't I? So Crystal Palace 0, Burnley 3. Goodmanson with 2 goals in 2 games now. It was a nice little finish just after 5 minutes. Jay Rodriguez, who is, I think he's the same height as me. He's not that tall.
No.
He's like 5'7".
He's taller than that.
Might be a bit tall. Might be 5'8". I'm 5'7". But like, yeah, he got a header and he didn't have to like come off the ground. It was a corner that was whipped in and he's inside the 6-yard box. You have to ask questions of Guaita.
Oh, it's abysmal, isn't it? It's ridiculous.
Madness. But the goal of the game.
The goal of the game.
The game sponsored by.
Yeah, like it was a bit. Get ready for the Doritos. Goal of the game.
Jay Rodriguez is 6 foot.
He's six
he's
foot.
So he's my height.
Is he?
Yeah. I told you he's quite tall.
Short.
No, he's gangly.
He's just hanging around a load of tall people. That's what it is. It's a bit like myself. I'm actually 6 foot, but Cotton's 6'6".
No, because I'm 6 foot, Gav, so there's no way you qualify for 6 foot. Right? You've gone from 5'7" to 5'8".
Right? Okay. I wish we were in the same room so I could actually put my finger on your little ears.
I bet you would. I bet you'd like to put...
It's Valentine's Day, boys and girls. It's Valentine's Day. Lowton's goal. I just loved... I was actually going to... Well, I'm terrible at tech, so I weren't going to make it. I was thinking about trying to make it. I wanted to make a little video of Strong Arm because he made, like, Van Aanholt. He took away all that glue. He just literally powered straight into it. And Strong Arm, get off me. Get off me. And then little 1-2 that he did with Vidra and just like to lace it in the top bin. Beautiful, beautiful strike.
Could not agree with you more.
Yeah, it was beautiful. That's up there for team goals of the season. Maybe not necessarily. I mean, the finish is beautiful, but the whole build up was absolutely beautiful.
Mm. Burnley have played a game more than Fulham. Obviously, Fulham are in action right now as we're recording the show. So by the time you listen to the show, it was yesterday. It's like, oh bloody hell, what a great victory for Fulham!
Fulham are ragging, mate. Fulham should be like 2-0 up already.
Yeah, I know.
Is it 1-0?
It's 0-0, but they've had some really good chances. They've hit the post and stuff.
Which is good for us because we're all in this together.
Yeah, of course, yeah. So it's like, oh, bloody hell, you know. Oh,
we're all in this together.
but like Burnley, that victory, that puts them on 26 points. In the table, so they're averaging more than a point a game. It's just a weird one because, I don't even think 32 points would be more than enough to keep you up in the Premier League this year, unless Fulham get a result or Fulham, West Brom, or Sheffield United could put some form of a run together. Excuse me, which I can't see happening in any way, shape, or form. But this. Something needs to change with Crystal Palace, doesn't it? Because Crystal Palace, when they don't play Zaha, this is now 20 games. Their last 20 games, they have lost 18 of them.
Really?
Without Zaha in the squad?
Without Zaha. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew that. Yeah, true. Very true.
That is one-man team, isn't it? That is literally your definition of a one-man team.
Yeah.
You have good players, to be fair, which they've got. I really like, is it Eze, you say it, or Eze?
Eze.
I really like Eze, man. Do you know what I think it is? I think it's more of a case that we need to accept. And he's done surprisingly well since turning up to Palace, and I'll give him credit for that, post-England. I thought he'd retire in the Maldives after that. But Hodgson's done all right, but I think we need to accept this is probably should be his last job now. He's in the twilight of his managerial career. It's got a bit stale at Crystal Palace because it has just been the Wilfred Zaha show. Probably time to start a new project. I wouldn't worry about them getting relegated. It's Palace.
Yeah, they'll want to build. Yeah, they'll want to build. 100% I agree with you. Like Hodgson, that's about it, really. Yeah. But there is going to be a rebuild as well because you've got Eze and you've got Zaha. Zaha won't stick around. But like, there is some players that are like quite stinky players. Though, like Batshuayi has not been good. Benteke has not been good. Jordan, are you still knocking around in the Premier League? Is baffling. Like they've got some dead weight at that club. But yeah, you're right. Someone that'd be a nice little fixer upper job for someone to go in and.
It's a London club. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of what's the word I'm looking for? You know, there's a lot of value in that club. I mean,
yeah,
I think look, Roy Hodgson. Surely they've got to be talking about this. You mean you're in no position? You're not going to sack Roy Hodgson, but maybe sit Roy Hodgson down and say. Maybe you should make this your swan song season, or like, because we are
football maybe or something.
Yeah, but you know what I mean, or maybe just announce that this will be your last year at Thing, so it doesn't look like a sacking. We're going to look to replace you in the summer, because I think Roy Hodgson's done well enough at Palace and has had enough of a long-serving career to deserve that. But I feel like he can't do anything more with this team, and
no, I agree.
I wouldn't blame him.
And you don't want to see him get relegated. Like I kind of like Roy, so I wouldn't wish that on him.
He's a journeyman. He's done lots of. I mean, before my time, he was a hell of a figure in.
It was only his 300th Premier League
350th.
Yeah, it's all been outside of the country, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But I was shocked by that. I was like, wow, like he was looking old yesterday as well, bless him. But yeah, we like Roy.
Yeah, we like Roy.
We like Roy. Right, okay. Final game that we're going to be talking about today was the game at the King Power Stadium.
Oh, God. I forgot this happened. Ed, I bet you wished it. You forgot this happened.
I wish this happened.
Leicester 0, Liverpool 1 before 78 minutes. So let's talk about Liverpool. final score was Leicester 3, Liverpool 1. We all know it was. James Maddison with a goal. We'll talk about that in a couple of moments, probably in a bit of depth. Jamie Vardy, literally minutes later, and then literally minutes after that, Harvey Barnes to make it 3-1. It's mad because I went for a run yesterday afternoon, and then... and then like got the food shopping and stuff, but it was 1-0 Liverpool. I was like, that's cool. I'm cool with that. And I was listening to your voice notes coming through and that sort of stuff. It's absolutely brilliant. And then I got back in the car and I was like, what has just happened? I literally was like,
what the f*** was that?
So Liverpool, for me, from what we saw early doors, look relatively comfortable, but were susceptible on the break, which most teams are when they are playing against Leicester.
Yeah. Ed. I'll agree with you. We looked the better side for 60 minutes of that game.
Mm.
You then say, as a Liverpool fan, look, a lot of ability is still there. You expect to come through this rut. But week by week, it seems to be less of a rut and more of a mentality.
Mm.
I think we're struggling. I think we're hurting from being on these highs for so long.
It's almost like a bit spoiled, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's like Kabak. He didn't like. I thought he was all right up until the three goals went in. I wouldn't necessarily say he had a good or bad performance. Leicester didn't push us hard enough to begin with for me to judge him on that. When I give reasons for why Liverpool ain't doing as well, and believe me, a lot of results are really shocking me, people then go, oh, I don't want to hear the excuses. Well, I think excuses is the wrong word. There are reasons which are helping us be in this position. And, you know, I look at Jurgen Klopp and, I think his mum died.
Yeah, his mum died. It was his funeral last week.
That was like a month ago, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
What, his mum died?
His mum died last week.
Yeah, but like the funeral was last week. And regardless, that's your mum, man.
No, I'm not. Well, hold on. Why are we bringing it up then? I don't understand. It's
We're bringing it up. I'm talking about literally
the factors.
The feeling around the club, the mentality. I'm talking about his post-match conversation.
January 19th, so it's a month ago.
Yeah, so the funeral was this Saturday, the same time the Leicester thing was on, and he can't go to Germany. You know, like the guy nearly bloody cried in his post-match interview, and he weren't crying because we lost the league. I think Klopp would be a bit more stronger than that, considering we've lost it a lot. this ain't the first time we've not won the league. I think we're still good enough to get top four, but it's going to be a bloody hard battle. Leicester City will now get top four, in my opinion. They've already bottled it once. That'll be stuck in their minds. We have a lot of competition all across the board. A Thomas Tuchel Chelsea is probably my biggest worry, because they're now going to start playing for him and they're playing in a normal position. I take that back. They was always playing for Frank. It just weren't working out quite as well. And the Liverpool are in trouble. Let me just put it that way. Leicester City, be proud of yourselves, but Liverpool are in trouble.
The Leicester goal, I don't want to put any blame on Kabak at all. Alisson, I know he had
it. Right, which I wanted to go through the goals in particular. Yeah.
Okay.
Ed, I'm going to ask you first, Ed. Do you want to get the fun stuff out the way, or do you want to save that to the end to make you feel better?
I don't even know what the fun stuff is. So,
the Salah goal.
The Salah goal. We'll just get the Salah goal. The Salah goal was sex. Like, do you know what I mean? It's like that's the thing. Like, when we can still do things like that up front, like, you know, we're still a good team. Do you know? Like, we've still got, you know.
I don't think anyone's denying that you're a bad team. I think it's just banter that goes around between football fans that be like, oh yeah, Liverpool are terrible.
I think it's more of a case of, I think we're gonna do something. And then that's when we're going to push on and we're going to get a bit of control over our season again. But it doesn't. We score a brilliant goal. It's like, I look back at the West Ham thing. Salah scores an unbelievable goal. It was a brilliant team goal.
Great power.
And then we lost to Brighton.
So what did it matter?
Yeah, ultimately, I keep thinking we're making a right turn and then we're not. Which makes
like an Arsenal fan.
No, I literally said that to Colin. every week.
But the thing is as well, like, even this goal, for you to go 1-0 up, it's not a case of like you went 1-0 up and it's like, oh, we threw it away. Like, the football was beautiful. You probably could have had a few more goals. The Firmino assist is like pure like Hoffenheim Firmino. Like, it was old school.
It's Hoffenheim Firmino, and for the last 2-3 seasons Firmino. We saw the Firmino that has turned into the best number false nine in the history of mankind.
So that's the thing. So to go one up by what such a lovely goal, to then just absolutely fold and crumble the way you did to the goals you did is hard. I can't even find words for it.
Right, Cotton. Let's go into it. It's goal number.
What the f- was that?
James Maddison is running through. He gets fouled on the line on the edge of the box. VAR, well, penalty's given. They VAR it. The foul is on the line. Free kick given.
I thought it was just a little bit outside the box, but this is where I was shouting at that telly, because I was like, if you give that as a penalty and you didn't give the Cavani one the other week for identical, I'll be fuming. So I'm glad they didn't give the penalty. Anyway,
the Cavani one for me was a penalty all day, because like for the it was always a foul, we knew that, but the Cavani one that wound me up a treat, because that is a pen for me. And yesterday, at the time you're listening, Saturday the 13th of February, that was a penalty for me, hands down. But penalty wasn't given, and James Maddison has a free kick. Excuse me. Literally on the periphery of the box on the left-hand side, he's taken this free kick. It's gone through a number of bodies. No one's touched it. It's hit the back of the net. VAR check for offside.
It was looking pretty tight as well.
Personally, it is tight, but I think it's level.
I think he's onside. I didn't think there was any other. Was there questions over it? Have people been saying it?
Was there questions on it? Have you not been on social media today, bruv?
It's been kicking off
everywhere. I've not been on Facebook, so I've got a ban on Facebook at the moment. But it's everywhere, and I'm not just seeing Liverpool fans. I'm seeing fans like saying. Well, like football fans in general saying, oh, you know, a bit dodgy. For me, it was level.
It was onside. I didn't know.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's been kicking off. So I'm glad we've agreed that, because I was a bit concerned about that bit. Jamie Vardy, his goal. What is the situation? What's the level of communication?
To be fair, Kabak is a brand new defender. I mean, yeah, this doesn't mean he can do that. Like, it was horrendous. It was horrendous. But I don't know if communication, like, I could make that the criticism. I don't even know what language Kabak speaks perfectly. I don't know which, certainly not. I don't know how good his English is. But yeah, still, I think that's more Alisson's fault.
Yeah, exactly. If Alisson doesn't come steaming out, he deals with it. And if it bounces behind him, at least he's got time to turn around and nod it back to his keeper or whatnot. Alisson's overcompensating for his mistakes last week, and he wants to come out. He was doing it a couple of times in that game where he wanted to come out and meet the ball, and he's tried too hard, and he's absolutely shagged it. He's almost wiped the guy out. And I think, I mean, Alisson, he wasn't even shouting at Kabak after the goal. I think he just looked really sheepish. It was like, oh my God. And then ultimate shithouse from Jamie Vardy did that schoolyard thing of walking it to the line and pumping it in, then what playing the guitar like, then playing the corner flag like a guitar.
What a guy. Sorry.
But yeah, it didn't end there either, did it?
No, it didn't. No, it did not. Because Harvey Barnes then bags 4 minutes later.
That one's just lazy defending, that one is. That was the Liverpool who just started using the high line and was just getting ripped, like the Aston Villa game, where it was literally just pass the ball and you're through on goal. That's what that goal was. That was Villa 2.0. I like Harvey Barnes though, good finish, composed. You move on.
Do you know what, man? Like, seriously though, and it's not even just the recent thing with whatever, with his mum passing and whatnot. Klopp's mega rattled, man. Like, his pressers before and after games, it's just, did you see him the other week when the guy asked him about the points difference and he just went off on him like, you need to be better at your job. You need to ask better questions. You need to do your research. Like, answer the question, man. Don't be a dick. Like, well, he's so clear.
That sort of rattled, like his mum passing as well.
But
you know,
Gav, he's been like this for months, mate. He's been like this for months.
No, personally, he's been like this for about a month.
Okay, yeah, so we all have personal trauma, but he can't take it out on everyone. No, I'm not fucking having that, man. My dad died when I was younger. I didn't take everything out on everyone else and say, well, free pass. You can't talk.
It's only been a month since his mother.
You're not listening. Stop. It doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. So when he was an absolute knobhead to the BT interviewer, asking, well, you arranged these fixtures, you're doing this to us, you want to see us fail, how was his mum then? I can't believe I actually have to say that as a sentence. How was his mum then? She was fine. He's been a knob this whole season. As soon as it doesn't go his way, he was like it at Dortmund. As soon as things don't go his way, the toys come out the pram, and he has been a dickhead to other managers. He's been dickhead to broadcasters, commentators, journalists. There's no excuse for it, man. I'm really sorry that he lost his mum, but that is not an excuse for him to act the way he is. If it was Mourinho, mate, there would be effigies in the street, mate. There'd be a witch hunt for him if it was Mourinho acting like that, and you know it. So I'm sorry that he's lost his mum, and it sounds callous or whatnot, but that can't be an excuse. It is not an excuse.
So here's the table.
I've got
nothing to come back on it, and
I think there is an element I agree with Cotton to an extent, but I think there is an element of Cotton is sick to death of people loving Klopp. Like, I can see it. Do you know what I mean?
If you don't
like someone and everyone's telling you how great he is, like, I admit Klopp's been rattled this year, I get that, but I think sometimes we forget that they're running multi-million pound fucking organised. Like, the stress must be all the time, then the injuries, and then you think all the social media things they're forced to do all the time. Like, oh yeah, it must be 24/7 non-stop, and he's been at Liverpool nearly 5 years on top of everything that's happening. He's probably just cracked a little bit
over 5 years. Yeah. I just think he has, like, there have been elements this season where he has been a bit rattled and been a bit like had a couple of dick moves that he said to people, but you know,
yeah,
I will say over the last month, I won't give him a free pass as such, but I don't know what I would do if I lost my mother. I would literally be completely beside myself if I lost my mum. And if I lost my mum whilst we were doing this, I'd probably quit. I lost my grandma. I lost my grandma coming up to, well, over 4 years ago now. And I still struggle with that daily. You know what I mean?
If you lost your mum, yeah, and for the next month you went to work and you were a dickhead and abusive to your co-workers and customers on the phone, do you think it would be within their right to say, look, come, mate, this enough's enough? Like,
well, it's different. It's a bit different because I'm not in the public eye. And that's what you got to worry about, because like when you like if you are not in the public eye, you can that your gaffer could turn around to say to you, or you're the owners or whatever, turn around and be like, bloody hell, Gav, been a bit extra recently. It's like, yeah, I know, I just lost my mum. They're like, oh, okay, take a couple of weeks off, or work from home. You're not using the phone, you're not using this, whatever. Just like just use emails, because the email, at least with an email and chat and text and stuff, you've got time to think about your response and things like that. But you've got a camera in your face. You've got no, there's no hiding place.
Whatsoever. Take the week off then. Take the week off then. The way he's been speaking.
Yeah, what's the week going to do?
Who's saying Klopp's being an arsehole, effectively? I mean, this is all opinion and perspective. Well, no, and a lot of situation. Yeah, he's been rude at times. I'll give you that. But I mean, I'm sure everybody surrounds himself with Klopp or actually knows Klopp. And for someone who watches an abundance of Liverpool content, being a Liverpool fan, I can tell the guy's a nice guy to an extent. I can only know so much about
him. Okay, here's my issue with it. Is if any other manager does it, everyone gets dug out for it. Sean Dyche's got
a dugout for having a bit of banter about doppelgangers.
But that's the media. It's the same media. I mean, we can't really be critical of Klopp. We've got to be critical of the media. Otherwise, we're part of the problem. Because exactly. I didn't give a shit when Sean Dyche said that. I don't care when Mourinho says this. We don't care. I'd be surprised if you two care. Like, it's the media who cares. I don't give a fuck what Klopp says.
But we should be getting a free pass. That's what all I'm saying. Like, you can't literally come out and criticise people for doing, like, what kind of a job they're doing, like a journalist or whatnot. Everton hit the post. Like, his attitude and his behaviour recently has been pretty bad. And like I said, if it was another manager, I'm sure things would be said and the FA would probably have a word with him about certain things. But we move.
We move. Well, that's the end of the show, to be honest. We say you move. I'll cut to roast before we went live with the watch along. And I'm about to finally have a go on it and see what it's like. are we doing a watch along during the week?
Tuesday is PSG Barca, which I think will be
Barca. I'm in finals night with the old dads that night. If you two then watch along, I'll be watching along with you. Checking the old arrows. And then there will be our standard bullshit show. Might be audio, might be visual, might be both. Might be live, might not be. At some point during this week, there's a few bits and bobs we want to talk about. There's a few polls that have been running, including what sauce would you put on your bacon sandwich? And then we'll be back next week with our Premier League review and more than likely another watch along, because you love it and we love it, because if you didn't love it, you wouldn't watch it with us. And we really, truly appreciate everybody's involvement, all your comments, all your likes, all your shares, all your subscriptions, etc. Remember, we do this off the back of our own off our own back. We pay to run this service for you guys as well. So you know, don't ever forget that. And you know, if we were ever in a way that we could get paid to do what we do, then we will give something back, you know. So like, you know,
expect invoices in the post. That's what we're saying.
Respecting voices in the post. No, I'm only joking. But on a serious level, though, no, it's really appreciative. Everything, you know, like we us guys do, you know, like I appreciate myself, of course, because what I do, I appreciate myself. But I appreciate all the work that Ed puts in, all that Cotton puts in. We all put in solid work to make as good a content as we can within our realms, to bring content to you. So thank you very much for everybody for subscribing. And if you haven't subscribed already, you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, etc., etc., at Two Up Top Football. And did you know, if you put Two Up Top into Google, our name comes up first?
Southgate out.
Southgate out.